Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on the second Sunday in Lent. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order tapes or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Do you evade the big questions that deal with your relationship with God by asking silly questions regarding the church, which are quite insignificant? I'd like to talk with you about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God in heaven, we pray that your word may speak to us this day in such a way that we can peel off that which is not really true and get down to the real basic question, where do we stand in our relationship with you? So, Holy Spirit, speak to us and show us the error not only of the Sadducees who lived so many years ago, but the era today when we evade the real questions that God is asking us in his word. All this we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, beginning with verse 18. Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow, but he also died, leaving no child. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? Jesus replied, Are you not in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses in the account of the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, we human beings have a real ability to avoid the big questions of life by asking less important ones. It seems to happen early, doesn't it, in our childhood? For example, here is a little child who has had plenty of candy for that day. So the good mother says to the little boy, "Look, no more candy today. You understand?" A bit later, she looks into the closet and finds that the candy bar is gone. So she gets a hold of the little guy and she said, "Look, did you eat that candy bar?" He looks at her and he said, "You mean the one that we bought at Safeway or Eagles?" "No, I don't know where we bought it. Did you eat the candy bar?" "You mean the one with the brown and the yellow wrapper?" "Pete, I don't know whether it had a yellow or brown wrapper or where it was bought. I'm asking you the question, yes or no, did you eat the candy bar?" Clever little guy, isn't he? And he grows up, and he decides to run for politics. So one day, a person asks him a very blunt question. "What is your position on abortion?" And then he begins by saying, "Well, this is a very involved subject. Now, have you considered what the various authorities have said on the subject?" And after a long time, the man finally, in disgust, walks away. The person has been able to evade the question with a yes or no answer by asking many insignificant questions. This is seen in the Christian faith, too. And here today in our text, we have a beautiful example. The Sadducees came to Jesus and asked a question regarding the resurrection. Now, first, let me tell you, as you perhaps already know, the Sadducees were the aristocracy of the Jewish people. There were basically these two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were most always the wealthiest. They included most of the priests. The office of the high priest was regularly held by a Sadducee. They were also the politicians, and they were the Jewish people who dealt with the officials of the Roman Empire. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. For them, the authority for their faith were the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They believed in the law of God. They accepted all of that, but they would have nothing to do with the oral laws that had been made by the Pharisees. They did not believe again in the resurrection. They said that in the first five books of the Bible, there was no evidence for the resurrection, and therefore they did not accept it. So one day they came to Jesus, these slick guys, and they said, "Look, Master, Moses tells us that when a person dies, his brother is to take over and be the husband of his wife." Now here is a situation where there was one wife, and during the course of a long period of time, she married seven brothers. And then they all died. The question is, in the resurrection, who will be her husband? Whose wife is she? It was kind of a silly question. But it is so common in our day. I have an acquaintance, I would say, who just loved to get a hold of some Christian person and really begin to badger him with insignificant questions. He has done it to me many a time as I sat around a table at Rotary and tried to embarrass me to the very, very best of his ability. He has done it on the golf course until some of the other people have said, "Why don't you keep still? You know you're not making any sense." Just delighted in some rather insignificant questions that pertain often to the church and not to Jesus Christ at all. He wanted to embarrass not only me, but others who were members of the church and who believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Well, that's exactly what the Sadducees were up to when they stood there in the presence of the Lord Jesus. Now, he's very, very kind to them and goes on to give them a great deal of help in this matter, supposedly. But when he's finally done answering their question, he says, "Don't you know that when we are raised, there is no marrying or giving in marriage?" Some of us don't like that very well. I was hoping that I could be married to my wife in eternity. But according to what our Lord Jesus Christ is saying, there's something far greater than this ahead of us. And we don't know what it is, so we're not going to bother our heads with that today, are we? Or are we? You know, sometimes we try to make heaven in our own image. I know that after certain funeral services, I've heard people say, "Well, I'm so glad that Mother died at the age of 89. Now she is out of her misery, and I can just see her together with her friends and Dad, and they're having company over tonight for coffee, and they're going to have a great time." I never had the heart to say to a person like that, "Hey, let's get with it. Let's be realistic. Let's take the scriptures as they stand." Let's say that Mom is now with her Savior in heaven. She has come there by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And whether she's drinking coffee with her friends or she is not, she is in a state of bliss. But you see, we kind of like to muddy the waters with the insignificant and really not get down to the real significant question. The significant question is not, where did Cain get his wife from? The significant question is not, do you think Christ is going to come now that we have entered into the new millennium? Is he going to come right away? Those aren't the big questions, my friend. But there are some big questions that are really brought to bear on people in the New Testament. One day, Jesus had his disciples with him at Caesarea Philippi, and he asked a very, very important question. He asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" He wanted an answer to that. Jesus heard that great answer from Peter that just made him elated. "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You are Peter, and on this rock, this confession, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." Notice the response of Jesus to a very, very important question. And that's one of the important questions today, friend, as you and I consider our relationship with God. Who is Jesus Christ? We like to evade it, don't we? We like to say, "Well, back in the days when the world was so large and we weren't together, as a whole world population like we are today," we could give a very dogmatic answer to that. But today we have to be very, very careful. The answer is still the same. Who is Jesus Christ? And then who is Jesus Christ for you? See, that's the important question. And the answer, and the only answer, that the scriptures will give to us is that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Outside of that, there are no answers that are adequate. It is not an adequate answer to say that he's a great religious leader, that he was the founder of one of the greatest religions, if not the greatest, in the world, that he's a great moral teacher, that he's the finest human example. Those are all very nice answers, but they are not the answer, and it's an evasion of the primary question, who do you say that I am? How do you compare that with who are you going to be married to when you get to heaven? The big question is, are you going to go to heaven? And the answer to that is, if one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, that's what the Bible has to say. Here is another very important question. Jesus had come to Bethany. His friend Lazarus had died. He was met out on the highway by the sister named Martha. Martha said to him, Lord, Lazarus is dead. If you had been here, he would not have died. Kind of reprimanding our Lord, I think. And then Jesus turned to her and he said, Martha, your brother's going to rise again. And Martha said, oh, I know it. I've heard it again and again in the resurrection. At the last day, he will rise again. But Lazarus is dead, and I miss him, and I want to have him right here. And then Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? See, there's a basic question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is a resurrection and a life? Do you believe that at the cross of Calvary he suffered and died for the sins of the world, including yours and mine? Do you believe that if we confess that sins, he is faithful and just and has taken that sin away, and we have the assurance that we are restored into fellowship with God forever and ever? See, friend, that is the basic question. And it demands an answer. Far different than some of the questions that we hear today. Questions that seem to be just dealing with the church. Why is it that your denomination can't do this or it can't do that? Why is it that the church make such a poor witness by being divided in so many different ways? Why does your church have that antiquated belief? See, those are the questions that deal with an organization. And many of them are man-made decisions that really have no reference to the scriptures at all. You see, friend, when you get right down to it, the big question is, the question that Jesus asked Martha. Martha, do you believe this? That's what's important. Let's take another question. This came from a man who was asking a real good question as he stood in the presence of Jesus, far better than that which was asked by the Sadducees. He asked the question, what is the greatest law? And Jesus throws it back at him, and finally the man comes up with this answer. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus turned and said to him, you've answered your question. That's right. You can take all of these commandments and you can summarize them by saying the first three especially deal with loving God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are commandments that affect your relationship with God. And the next ones, 4 through 10, deal with your relationship with other people. Obviously with God too, but specifically with other people. You can summarize all those by saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Not just a verbal allegiance, but right from the inner being, I love you, God. I will have no other gods before you. I will not take your name in vain. I will remember the Sabbath day. I love you, God. I will honor my father, my mother. I will not kill. I will not steal. I will not commit adultery. I will not bear false witness. I will not covet. See, there is a basic question that demands a specific answer. And so we turn, you see, to our whole life. If we're majoring in insignificant questions, then sometimes that even goes over farther into life, and we major in some rather insignificant matters in our own personal life, and even in the life of the church. You know, it is very easy. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given us a command. And the command to his Christian church is that you and I should go and bear witness to Jesus Christ. That we should witness to him. That means that I go to that person who does not believe in Jesus Christ when God opens the door and I tell that person about Jesus. How can we do that best? That's the item that should be on the agenda of every church, every congregation. But what do? We become so involved. Now, I can be practical too, but we can become so involved in the insignificant, the unimportant, to the place that we spend so much time on this thing or that thing in the church, and how are we going, what kind of an organ are we going to have, or what kind of a liturgical worship service are we going to have, or is it going to be informal, is it going to be contemporary, is it going to be traditional? All of these things, friend, that is not the main issue of the church. The main question that every congregation that is sincere about this whole matter is asking today is, how are we getting the message of Jesus Christ out? It is sad to see one church after another almost close its doors. It sits there on a Sunday morning with a handful of people where once there were hundreds. It sits with a handful of Sunday school children, where once there were hundreds. What has happened? Dare we ask the questions? Or are we going to continue on with the insignificant until the church burns down, or could just as well burn down, for there is really no one coming there? Is it because we say, well, this is a part of our age, when maybe it is that we as both pastors and laity are not really about our Father's business? Oh, my friend, this is not a job. As a part of the Christian church, this is a calling to go and tell the story of Jesus Christ. And when we aren't doing it, then God give us the grace that we may have the ability to ask ourselves the question, really, what's wrong? And then find the answers to these important questions in the revealed Word of God that has been given to us, the Holy Scriptures, and fearlessly carry them out. Oh yeah, the Sadducees were wrong, but the Sadducees are dead and gone, and we live today. Grant that the Holy Spirit may penetrate our hearts. Amen.
Children of
Thank you.
God, we pray that you will fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit to the place that we are able to ask the big questions before it is too late, in our individual lives, in the lives of our church, in the lives of this nation. God, we know that we're just kidding ourselves, we're just playing with games, when sometimes, like the little boy, we try to move our Father's will from that which deals with the important issue to something rather insignificant. Take the politics out of our relationship with you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that this worship service has been uplifting and comforting for you. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit radio ministry supported entirely by gifts from you, our listening family. Sometimes donors choose to honor someone special in their lives with an honorarium gift to us. The occasion may be an anniversary, a birthday, or some other special day. The names of all those listed on honorarium gifts are published each quarter in our newsletter, The Crusader. We appreciate your honorarium gifts and enjoy being a part of your family celebrations. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.